Americans being Americans. There's no doubt. Talk to people around the world, and it just seems from what, at least what we see, or what I see, what I hear, that people think that America, United States, is the place to be. And we find that so many people wanting to get here. But what we need to do is to bless God. I've said it before, and I'm sure that you've thought about it. We see signs all around us, bumper stickers, God bless America. And somebody said that God will only bless America in the same measure that America blesses God. May God help us to return that, or to give that blessing that He is worthy of, to serve Him so that He will continue to bless America. And surely that is the basis for God blessing America in the very beginning, through these years, because people served God, people gave themselves to service to Him, wanted to worship Him, hungering to worship God. Praise the Lord. It's a little bit about what I wanted to speak of this evening. Been to youth camp and family camp, and stopped in one night at IHYC in Greenfield. While we were gone to camp, I slipped out of our camp and went down there, as I have these the last 3 years that IHYC has been going on. And I can't help but notice what God is doing among our young people. I think the only one here tonight is Jonathan Gibson that was a camper. Anybody else a camper at IHYC? I think he was the only one, and I wasn't expecting him to be here, or didn't know that he was going to be here. But he was a camper at IHYC, and then there was a number that are here tonight that were at Pilgrim Youth Camp, and a number that are planning on going to Athens Youth Camp. And God is doing something across our country and among our young people. My wife even suggested that we get all of the youth that were at youth camp or at Pilgrim Camp in some form to come up front and testify about what camp meeting meant to them. Some of the youth campers have already testified this evening. And I know that some are going to say, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to get up front. But maybe it'd be good for you to hear what camp meeting has meant to these that have gone. And I wouldn't be opposed to doing it again after Athens Youth Camp, to let people know what God is doing among our young people at camp meeting. So why don't we do that tonight? All of you that were at camp meeting, come on up here. You can just stand right down front here. Jonathan, before you turn loose from that, turn on this mic. Some of them are sitting back saying, I'm glad I didn't go to camp meeting. What a shame. Jeanette's lined up here to be first. Go ahead and pass it right down to the board.
Well, I'm glad I went to youth camp this year. The Lord sanctified me Tuesday night at youth camp. It wasn't in service, but I went back to my room. And I couldn't get away from the services and things that God had been dealing with me. And I prayed into the night, and God sanctified me, and I want to thank Him for that.
I want to thank the Lord for the help He gave me at youth camp. There was some of my friends there who were having spiritual difficulties, and when I found out, another friend of mine told me about it, and I was like, oh, no, that's not good at all, and I was praying, and it was so wonderful to see them go forward to the altar, either doing youth camp or family camp, and get through and have their arms raised in the air. And I want to thank God so much for how he helped. Several nights the altars were lined. But it seems that this year, a lot of the young people really, really got settled. And I know one song for me was, we sang, they played it for offertory. I've settled the question. I'm not turning back, no matter what. And this is the way I'm going. This is the way that is the right way, that's the only way to heaven. And I'm planning to be in heaven.
I'm glad that I went. I love the Lord, and I want to thank him for what he's done for me. The services were just good. His presence was in the services, and you could feel his presence. And I thank the Lord for Brother Mitchell that the Lord told him what to preach, and that he preached it and not just what he wanted to. I love him, and I want to make heaven my home.
Shannon got up here. Yeah, Megan and Kyla were both there, and neither one of them are here tonight. But it's amazing to feel God's presence. You know, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are in a service. When God comes, it's a wonderful experience. I suppose that all of us here tonight have had some kind of a memory. We have a memory somewhere of a powerful service where God came. And it's not just for the senior citizens. It's not just for the older folk. It's not just for the moms and the dads or the grandparents. God comes to meet needs on every level. Now, one of the things that I noticed this year, probably more than ever, although it seems to be more and more that way, that young people are responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit more than what we may find in the adults. Brother Mitchell does a tremendous job. There's no doubt about it. I believe that Brother Mitchell is one of the leading anointed preachers of our day. There'll come a time, if Jesus tarries, where people will look back on the Brother Mitchell revivals and realize how much of an impact he's had on people's lives. He has such a way of taking the simple truths of God's Word and applying them right to the very nitty-gritties of our lives. He has a way of coming right into where we live with all of his humor of goodwills and yard sales and auctions and all of that stuff. And how He can take those simple things and turn them around to be a shadow of things spiritual. But not only did He do a tremendous job in the youth camp, but also going right on into the family camp. And during the week in the youth services, Monday to Friday, the morning services, the youth gathered in a separate tabernacle. And a name that probably the majority of you are not familiar with. But a young man by the name of Chris Dewhurst spoke in those services. Just a young fella. I'm not sure how old he is. He's just mid-20s, I think, somewhere. And did a tremendous job. Every day in our youth services at camp meeting, we had an altar service. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, and I want you to bear with me and follow through with me. He spoke in the first service about, his whole theme was the relevancy of holiness to this generation. And he used the name Pilgrims 2.0. He's a kind of a computer geek as such. He knows, he delves in all that stuff and those numbers, you know. Every level of new technology has a number placed on it. And so he was calling it Pilgrims 2.0. He spoke on Monday about living in His grace. And the second day was living in His kingdom. And the third day, living in His will. And then on Thursday, He spoke about living filled with His Spirit. And every service, there were young people that were hungering enough for what He was speaking about that they made their way forward for prayer. And then in every evening service, at least the ones that I was able to be in, it seemed like the majority of the people that went forward for prayer was once again the young people. They're seeking for something. They're wanting something. Friday in the morning service, Chris Dewhurst spoke about living carefully before Him. Carefully. We don't hear a lot of that anymore. We hear messages on holiness and we hear messages on salvation. We hear messages regarding things, but placed in a context of the need that is there for us to be careful. And He just did a tremendous job about talking to us about living carefully before Him. In matters of media, in matters of language, and in matters of dress. Being careful that we are pleasing to God in all of these areas. And it was amazing to me that after all of these days of youth camp and family camp and all of the seeking that had taken place, it was amazing to me that when He spoke on these areas, the response that came from our young people, the one side of that little tabernacle was completely filled up with teenagers. The other side was fairly full. Very little more room for kids to come in had they wanted to. What was it telling me as I looked on that scene? It was telling me that our young people are wanting to know what it's going to take to see God come, to see God move among us, to be pleasing in His sight, to have His smile of approval, to know that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not just simply that once upon a time I knelt at an altar and prayed and God saved me, or once upon a time I knelt at an altar and prayed and God sanctified me. That's not just it. Those are just the beginnings. There's a life that is lived, living in His grace, living in His kingdom, living in His will, living filled with His Spirit, living carefully before Him. Thursday night, I believe it was. Some of you would remember this perhaps a little better than I on what day it was. But I believe it was Thursday night. Brother Mitchell spoke about an olive tree and a vine. You know, it's easy for us to get carried through on somebody else's coattails. Or living in somebody else's shadow is what Brother Mitchell was talking about. But what we need is to have our own vine and our own olive tree to go to. It's easy for me even to come to church on Sunday morning for prayer meeting and just simply be carried by the prayer of people that's around me. If you're not here on Sunday morning prayer meetings, then you may not understand what I mean. I can't necessarily hear all that's being said, but there are times that I can hear my name being called. I can hear Sunday school teachers' names being called. I don't know what else the burdens may be going on and the prayers that are being lifted, but I can hear certain names being called. You know, it's easy to be carried on those shadows or in those shadows of these that are praying, seeking God's face. But our young people have been challenged to find their own olive tree, their own grapevine, as it were, to get up underneath God's grapevine and His fig tree or olive tree to find the blessings for themselves that they can know and seek God for themselves. Someone might suggest that I would say something like this every year following camp. That God comes every year, and every year we see the same people at the altar praying, seeking God. Been there and done that. How many of you have been there and done that? When my cousin was here this week, we were talking and reminiscing about the old camp meeting in Pennsylvania, Port Matilda Camp. And he made the comment that the evangelists that came were guaranteed to have at least four seekers at the altar. Teddy and his brother and my brother and myself. Guaranteed to have at least four seekers because we were going to be there every year. And then as the family grew, there were others in the family that followed us to that mourner's bench down to pray. Yeah, we did it every year. But somewhere along the line, things began to get settled in, at least for two of us. Two of that four are not in this way anymore. But two of us are pastoring. Two of us are doing our best to serve God. There's a whole other string of our cousins behind us that some are serving the Lord and some are not. But I think about the young people that have come year after year to camp meeting, and year after year have sought the Lord. And then sometimes we even have contact with them through the year. And there is a lot of young people that are wanting to serve God. They are doing their best to serve God through the year. I've asked the Lord so many times what it is. What do we need to do? Where are we missing it? That our young people can't become established earlier in life. Not waiting till they're 18, 19, 20. When so many temptations are befalling them that it's common for that age bracket to be drawn away. Why can't we see them established in their early teens? Answering God's call to ministry in their early teens or in their childhood. In those early formative years. Brother Dewhurst mentioned it in the Friday service as he was talking from Genesis chapter 13, speaking about when Abraham and Lot separated and went their different ways. And Lot went as he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he went down into those areas and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And what he mentioned in that particular scene, in that arena, was that there was a leaning towards sin in his life. And as he spoke about living carefully before God, in that Friday morning service, he was mentioning the importance of having God remove that leaning towards sin or worldliness. Leaning. Just a little bit of a hankering for the things of this world or something that God says no to. And it might be something that is okay for a lot of people, or what is appearing to be okay for a lot of people. Some of you may remember that some time ago I said you can't base it on somebody else because they might think they're getting away with it, or you might think they're getting away with it when in reality they have just simply rejected light and they've gone on trying to cover that up. That's a dangerous thing for us. When God speaks to us at an altar of prayer or in the privacy of our own prayer time, and He shows us things that we must do, we cannot look at somebody else and say, well, look how good of a Christian they are. And they can do that. We need to allow God to take away that leaning towards sin that we would have. That leaning or that desire or that hungering for the things that this world has to offer, even if it is a beautiful, well-watered plain of Jordan. And as I was watching some of these scenes at camp meeting this year, it seemed like God spoke to me and said, the problem isn't in the kids wanting or not wanting to do God's will. The problem is when the kids go back home and moms and dads, I'm a parent, so I'm not just preaching at you. When moms and dads, when we parents make allowances for that leaning to continue. We have some wonderful young people here. I was proud of every one of our young people at camp meeting. I was proud of them that they conducted themselves well. They played well. They worked hard. They did a lot of things. Some of them did things that were unexpected of them to do in the way of work. Just jumped in and helped out. Watching them pray at the altar or praying with them at the altar, hearing them testify and praise God for what He'd done for them. You couldn't find a more satisfied or happy pastor in those times. It was rewarding. All the labors, all the toil that goes into it, those are the things that pay back that effort and that labor. It's a wonderful experience. But I wonder how much for myself. The problems that my children, Janae has mentioned it from time to time, the struggles that she has had. And I've wondered, as I've thought about this over the last week and a half, I wondered how many of her struggles have come right back to me coddling that tendency or that leaning towards certain things that may be the problem that hinders her. You know, Jesus said the problems that hinder us ought to be cut off. If our finger offend us, cut it off. If our hand offend us, cut it off. If our eye offend us, oh, I can't imagine that. Take it out. Remove it. We need to be very careful about what direction we are leaning towards and taking our children in, because it very well might not be a spiritual hindrance to us, but it could very well be a spiritual hindrance to them. And the likelihood is it's also a spiritual hindrance to us, and we don't even notice. Because we've learned how to circumvent sometimes the speaking of the Holy Spirit. To get around some of these things that we have learned to excuse in the areas of media, of dress, of language, I spoke to the young people Friday morning before I turned it over, or actually before we even got started in the service Friday, having a little sword drill, and all of it had to do with making the things that are holy, sacred, making them secular. And I had a point in it because the day before, one of our Pilgrim Holiness Race kids, children, teenagers, you know, he's old enough to drive. He's getting out to the point where he's going to be on his own before long. And in a moment of exclamation, he said, "Holy cow." Now, that's not all that bad, is it? And yet anything that is taken that is sacred and made secular, I believe that we are in a scary spot. We're in a dangerous position. And he was taking the word holy, and in and of itself, that word ought to be and remain as a sacred word and not used as a point of exclamation out on a ball field or anywhere. Holy is an attribute of God. And so often we just get caught up. And I told the young people, I said, "I'm not trying to be hard, just a little point of information, just a little point of direction." Because sometimes we, as parents, don't even pay attention to what is going on. And it's amazing. I mentioned it Father's Day Sunday about dads taking the time to talk with your children or at an early age. And it's amazing to me how many children, how many teenagers have never had one-on-one contact with their parent, to where the parent sits them down and spells out some things for them and instructs them. Sometimes it probably gets old to my kids because I look at other people and I point out things about them and I say, "Now look at that. Do you really think that God approves of that kind of behavior or that kind of dress? Look at what is going on and taking place." We were at a church setting, a church function as it were one time, and somebody leaned over into the trunk of their car and you could see a good portion of their torso or their belly or back and all, you know, whatever. I said, "Now, is that modesty? You know, somewhere there's a line that has been drawn. God has a line somewhere. But we have trampled things so far, and we've excused things so far, we've accepted things so far, we just keep going further and further and further until, you know, if it's okay to show it bending over the car, then why can't I just wear a midriff? If it's okay to show it playing..." I'm getting into dangerous water there, aren't I? Playing volleyball or softball, it's okay, then it must be okay all the time. Carefulness. Pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was leaning towards that direction. He was pressing that direction. His eye was focused on that. He was seeing that more than he was the altar that Abraham had set up. My heart has been touched these last couple of weeks because our young people want the presence of God in their lives. They want the Spirit of God to move in our services. They want to feel His nearness. They want to have His smile of approval. May God help us as parents, as leaders, to make it easy for them to experience that, to follow that. I believe that it's a power of God in His presence that will establish a person earlier in life to give them a hunger that they will never be able to get away from. My cousin and I, in reminiscing this week, we've never been able to sit down like we did this week and talk and reminisce over his background's different from mine. His mom and dad are divorced now, both of them remarried. He was not raised in the church. Although we have the same godly grandparents that you hear me talking about, Pap and Gram. He wasn't raised this way. He had the influence of the grandparents, and that was pretty much the extent. But in our reminiscing, in the midst of our sharing with each other about what it was that that drew our attention. We both were able to go back and pinpoint times when God came in His manifest presence and His power, and it convicted our hearts. Both of us. Didn't matter how we were raised, it was the presence of God in His power that attacked us and attached itself to us to where we sought and desired to have that kind of an experience. One of the young people testified this or last week during camp that they wanted to have the same kind of religion that Grandma Raines had or has. If you know Brother and Sister Raines, there's a spirit about them of prayer, of intercession, seeking God. And you see them in the services and their faces are aglow. Their testimony rings and their shouts of praise are abundant. One of the grandkids said, "I want to have that kind of religion." What kind of a religion was that? Is it consumed with all the present day technology and the present day things? No. Oh yeah. Somebody made comment, there was Brother Raines checking his email, 70-some years old, sitting there on his computer checking email. No, that's not what was hindering other people. It's all of the other stuff that goes beyond that. But their testimony rang true. It was the carefulness in which they conducted themselves and governed themselves in the midst of technology. We need to be careful. We need to be a careful people. We need to pay attention to the details. It's the little foxes that'll spoil the vine. I want us to see God come and establish our young people fresh and anew and establish them in this careful walk to carry on to the next generation if Jesus tarries. Let's see that we do that. Let's seek God's face. Let's be careful ourselves and to help our children be careful so that they can carry it further. I'm finished. Let's stand together.